Good morning. Glad you can join in hearing God's word today. This morning we're going to be having a wrap-up message over our message series that we've been preaching through, I've been preaching through for the last couple months, focusing on the ministry of Elijah and Elisha. So this morning is kind of a review. Hopefully it's a reminder as we talk about things that we've seen, topics and issues and principles that we've seen throughout our message series with the prophet Elijah and the prophet Elisha. And as we've been going through this message series, one of the things that I've been saying or stressing is that oftentimes when we think of what a prophet is, or we hear the word prophet or prophecy, we often assume that it's talking about future events or predicting about what's going to happen sometime in the future, whether it's near future, whether it's a distant future. And while there is some truth to that, that is what a prophet does, it is not the only thing. In fact, if you look more closely, particularly in the Old Testament prophets, while they did predict future events, they did prophesy about them, there was also a good amount of preaching or proclaiming God's truth to the present circumstance or the people in the present situations in life, calling them back into a right relationship with God, calling them to repent and to turn to God and to trust Him presently in their current life situations and stage in life. So as we've gone through this message series, focusing on the prophet Elijah and the prophet Elisha, again, the focus is not just about predicting future events, but speaking to us in our present circumstances and how God wants to call us and remind us of who He is. So if you have your Bible, I do hope you have your Bible with you. We're going to be looking at a number of verses, and these verses we have gone through in our message series, but just as a reminder or a review again, we're going to be looking at a number of verses. So do you have your Bibles handy or ready? Because I do hope that as we've gone through our message series or any message, that you do have a Bible with you or around you that you could look at the passage regarding what the preacher or the minister is speaking on. And I think that's really important to be able to see for ourselves what God's word says, rather than just relying on whoever is speaking or whoever is preaching or teaching. Hopefully, what they're preaching on, what they're teaching on, what they're saying is truthful, does come from God's word, is the correct passage, is the correct application of that passage. But if you have God's word with you, if you're looking at the particular passage or the verse that the person is speaking on or about, you're able to, how should I say, verify or confirm, or you could say see for yourself, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you rather than just trusting or relying on whoever is speaking. So I do hope you have your Bible ready. Again, there's three reminders as we go through this wrap-up message on Elijah and Elisha. The first reminder is that obeying or following God may come at a cost or even risk. There may be a cost or risk involved with following God. We see that in a number of passages, particularly in the book of 1 Kings. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to be looking at verse 1. It says, "Now Elisha, the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word.'" God is calling Elijah the prophet or his spokesperson to deliver a message to Ahab. And Ahab is the king of the northern kingdom, Israel. And his message is that there shall be no rain for a number of years. There's going to be a drought. In our present circumstances, I guess except for this weekend, our present circumstances, we haven't had very much rain. We're in a major drought in the Bay Area. Whether or not this is God's rebuke on us, that's another situation. That's another story. We won't go into that right now. But for sure, for Israel, there was this drought upon the land. And the reason why there was a drought was not because of the weather, particular weather forecast, or there's no, what's it called, the Pineapple Express. It hasn't been hitting them. But because God did not allow the rain, has a rebuke of his people because they were falling away. They were worshiping idols and pagan gods and goddesses. And this was God's rebuke of them to get them to return to worshiping him. And also for Israel, or an agriculturally dependent society, which Israel was, where farming was one of the, if not the major source of income for the country, not just on a business scale, business level, but on an individual level. There were family farms during this time, and they were dependent upon rain for their crops, for their harvest. So you can imagine what this will do to an economy, a society like Israel, with where there's no rain. Their economy is going to go belly up, just like as we've seen with the COVID. A lot of businesses, the service industry had a hard time with the shutdown. Maybe your job, maybe your financial situation has been gravely impacted because of COVID. I'm not saying it's a result of sin and it's God's rebuke on us, maybe, but that's another issue. For sure, for Israel, for the king, this is not something that the king wants to hear. And I would guess that he would not be very happy on hearing this message, and particularly with Elijah bringing this message, especially given the fact that we know, or as other passages tell us regarding this king, who is Ahab. Ahab was not a very God-fearing king. In fact, him and his wife Jezebel, they worshipped the Baals. They worshipped pagan gods and goddesses. They led Israel astray, away from worshipping God. We also look at verse 17. Same chapter. Chapter 17. Go down to verse 17. Oh, sorry. Next chapter. Chapter 18. Verse 1 and 2. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Again, God brings rain after this famine, after this lack of rain, which had caused a famine. And now you could say this is good news, but prior to that, there was no rain. And in addition, in verse 17 of chapter 18, verse 17 says, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is it you, you troubler of Israel? Ahab is blaming Elijah for the dire circumstances and situation which Israel has been facing, for the fact that there's been no rain, there's been no drought. Ahab, rather than repent, rather than return to the Lord, believes that Elijah is the cause of their difficulty, of their situation. And this culminates, if you remember, in chapter 18, the rest of chapter 18, where Elijah takes on the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. There's this big showdown on Mount Carmel where Elijah single-handedly, well, with the power of God, of course, takes on the prophets of Baal. 450 prophets of Baal, and I believe 400 prophets of another, prophets of Asherah, another Canaanite god. And Elijah defeats them with God's help. But if you were looking at this from the outside, and you're betting who's going to win, one person or 850 people versus 850 people, you would probably guess, if you're a betting person, that there's no way that this one individual, no matter how strong, no matter how well-equipped they might seem, is going to be able to defeat 850 people. But yet, God calls Elijah to stand against, to stand up for the Lord. Look at it from Elijah's standpoint. Elijah is being asked, being told, being commanded by God to go against the flow, to say things that are more than likely going to be upsetting to the individuals hearing it. Upsetting may not always be bad, because there's a likelihood or there's a hope that that person will turn to the Lord, be upset, but recognize that what they're hearing is because of their own choices, and they can choose to turn to the Lord. But there's also a likelihood that the person becomes more entrenched in their circumstance, in their situation, in their direction, and attack whoever is bringing this message. Be mad, be angry, and be violent towards, want to silence the messenger. There's a risk involved. There's a cost involved for Elijah in order to follow the Lord. Elijah is being called to bring a message of, yes, rebuke, but a message of repentance, turning back to the Lord. But there's a risk involved, because the person receiving the message may not like what they hear, may not want to turn to the Lord, may in fact bring out their anger or their bitterness against the messenger. There's a risk involved with following the Lord. For us in our circumstances of life today, we may not be called to bring a message like Elijah, the same message, but we are called, I believe, to be a witness for the Lord in our present circumstances and situations in life. We may not be going to the king and rebuking them, but we may have to talk to an individual, maybe confront an individual, not to point the finger, not to show our superiority to them or try to come across as superior, but in hopes that they will turn to the Lord. And there may be a risk involved. There may be possible consequences or costs that we need to be willing to take, to at least consider and take. Just like for Elijah in being God's messenger. Yes, a prophet, but also a proclaimer of the truth of the Lord. How is God calling you to follow him, to obey him? And it may come at a cost or involve risk to you. But I hope and I pray that just like Elijah, that you would be willing to follow through in obeying the Lord, whatever he is calling you to do. Whoever he is calling you to minister, to care for, to perhaps challenge in their life, so that they will turn to the Lord. Our second theme that we've seen, or idea or principle that we've seen throughout our message series, involves this: that obeying God or following God may involve building others up, ministering to others over my personal benefits or my personal desires. Obeying and following God may involve building up others at a cost of, you could say, my own personal benefit. Let's look at these verses. Again, the second point of obeying and following God may involve building others up at a cost of my own personal benefit. Let's look at a number of passages. Again, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 16. This is after Elijah has defeated the prophet of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he's fled. He's run away, you could say. And the Lord is now speaking to him on Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, speaking to Elijah. And he speaks to Elijah in a gentle whisper. And this is one of the things that he says to Elijah in verse 16. He's telling Elijah to anoint individuals to be king. And particularly says in verse 16, "And Jehu, son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place." Skip down in verse 19 of chapter 19. "So he," referring to Elijah, "departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him." In other words, God tells Elijah, the prophet, to now anoint or to declare that Elisha will now be the prophet of the Lord. Elijah then goes, you could say, to bless or to help build up Elisha, to ready him for the ministry of the Lord. And over the next couple of weeks, months, perhaps even years, really, Elijah and Elisha ministered together in the name of the Lord. Elijah and Elisha ministered together in the name of the Lord. You also may recall in the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, which we looked specifically where Elijah was taken away from Elisha. Chapter 2 of 2 Kings. Let's look at verse 9. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took up hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. At this point, Elisha takes over the role of prophet of the Lord from Elijah. Elisha now takes over. You see him taking up Elijah's clothes, his cloak, indicating that now the power of the Lord, the role as prophet of the Lord, is now going to Elisha. Elijah is taken out of the picture. Obeying or following God sometimes calls us to build others up at the cost of our own personal benefit. Well, what do I mean by this? Well, you can imagine for Elijah, being told not only to pick your successor, Elisha, but to train him, to build him up, so that he will one day replace you, take over for you. On one hand, you could do that willingly, lovingly, but on the other hand, I can imagine there being a bit of jealousy, there being a bit of anger, there being perhaps a bit of resentment. Now, I'm not saying or suggesting that this was what Elijah was thinking, but I have seen enough examples where individuals know ahead of time that this other person will eventually replace them, eventually take on their role, eventually succeed them, and that causes friction in the relationship between, you could say, the mentor, the older person, and the mentee or the younger person. Just think about in sports how that happens very often. For those of you who like the 49ers, you know that currently there's a debate about who's going to be the quarterback for the 49ers. Is it Jimmy Garoppolo? Or is it now their young quarterback that they've selected in the draft, Trey Lance? And this kind of goes back to a number of years where this occurred with the 49ers between Joe Montana and Steve Young. God is calling Elijah to build, to invest into Elisha, so knowing that one day Elisha will take over, will, you could say, replace Elijah as prophet of the Lord. A willingness on Elijah's part to let go to allow Elisha to take over as prophet of the Lord, rather than holding on, rather than gripping, rather than refusing to relinquish his role. But we've also said, if you also remember the passage where the message where we looked specifically at this passage, that it also requires Elisha as the understudy, you could say, to take up the role of prophet, to step up into this role. And so there's this twofold. On one hand, Elijah, the older person, letting go, releasing. Now, I'm not saying he just drops everything, he just dumps it all on Elisha. There's a grooming process, there's a building up process. But at some point, it's about relinquishing. It's about stepping back. And then Elisha stepping up, taking over, taking on this role, or this mantle of leadership. And perhaps for some of you, God is calling you in being obedient or following him. May involve you building into or building up others around you. God is calling you specifically to minister to this person. Perhaps at some point in the future, they will, how should I say, succeed you, take over, replace. I don't want mean to diminish your value or you as a person, but that may be what God is calling you to do. And I know it's difficult. I know it may be very challenging to our sense of worth, our sense of pride, to think that I'm no longer going to be in control, in charge, coordinating, overseeing. But stepping back or stepping out and allowing ourselves to invest or build up others around us. How is God calling you? Perhaps to let go. Perhaps to build up someone. Or perhaps even to step up into a role, to take on certain tasks or certain responsibilities. Lastly, we're going to look at our last principle or point in our review of Elijah and Elisha. The last is that obeying or following God may mean not getting what I want, but instead getting what I need. And again, we've seen this principle not getting what I want, but getting what I need. And we've seen this principle take place particularly with Nahum. If you remember in 2 Kings, if you have your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 5. Chapter 5, where Nahum, he had leprosy, skin disease, which is incurable during this period of time. And he's not an Israelite, but he comes to Israel to seek a cure for his leprosy. And in chapter 5, particularly in verses 11 to 12, chapter 5, verse 11 to 12, Elisha tells him to bathe himself, to wash himself in the Jordan River in Israel. In verse 11, but Nahum was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abama and Phaphir, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Nahum's angry and he's upset that Elisha has told him to wash himself, to bathe himself in the rivers of Israel. And he's thinking, why did I need to make this journey to Israel? I could have just stayed in my own country, Syria, and just washed in their rivers, because their rivers are better than the Jordan. But notice his servant in verse 13. But his servant came near and said to him, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash, be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman, upon reflection on what he has just heard by his servant, will you, in essence, humble yourself? Be willing to obey and follow the direction that Elisha has said to him, and go and bathe yourself in the Jordan River. Though you may disagree, and it's not so much that the Jordan River, the waters of the Jordan River, are better than the waters back home in Syria. Okay, maybe they are, but you know, maybe they're a little cleaner, who knows? But the reason why Naaman is cured of his leprosy, I would argue, is not so much that he's bathing in the Jordan River itself, but that he's willing to humble himself and trust in what the prophet Elisha, who is a spokesperson for God, has called him to do. He's willing to humble himself and to acknowledge that he needs to listen and obey what God is speaking to him through Elisha the prophet. And that is, I would argue, the reason why he's healed of his leprosy. The Jordan, bathing in the Jordan, is the outward, external confirmation of God's healing upon Naaman. If God wanted to, he could have just healed him without bathing in the Jordan River. But oftentimes, we need to actually see a physical outpouring or demonstration of the hand of God. Naaman is willing to do not what he wants, which is to go back to Syria and wash there, but what he needs, which is to humble himself, to listen and obey, and to bathe in the Jordan River. We also saw earlier with Elijah and Elisha, where Elijah is being taken up into heaven in the whirlwind, and Elisha steps up into the role of the prophet. Now, I would argue that what, up to that point, if you look at the passages, look at the verses, it's clear that Elisha knows what's going to take place. He knows that Elijah is soon going to be leaving, departing him. And he's not too happy about that. You know, rightly so. If you were in Elisha's place and you've been having this great relationship with your mentor, you're someone who's discipled you, poured their life into you, and you know that they're about ready to leave, you would be, I think, at least sad to know. Maybe a little unhappy that they're going to be leaving you. But if Elijah doesn't leave, doesn't step out, doesn't let go, there's a good likelihood that Elisha may never step up or step into, or you could say grow and develop as a person, let alone as a prophet of the Lord, if Elijah continues to stay and be in charge, Elisha is not going to get an opportunity to grow and to develop and to mature, both as a person and as a prophet of the Lord. What Elisha wants, perhaps at that stage, before Elijah leaves, is for Elijah to stay, to continue to be with him and mentor him. Should I stop? Again, if Elijah does not leave, Elisha will not get an opportunity to step into the role of prophet and to grow and develop. Even though there's a good likelihood that prior to Elijah leaving, Elisha wanted him to stay. So often in our own lives, what we want, what I want, what you want is very different than what we need, what I need, what you need. Obeying and following God may mean not getting what I want, but getting what I need. And yet I would also argue that when our needs and our wants, where what I need matches or aligns or is in sync with what I want, what I've often seen is that when those two line up, when what I want matches with what I need, God is able to do amazing things in our lives. When what I want in life and what I need in life, and they match up with what God wants for us, amazing things begin to happen in our lives. An amazing work of God develops and grows, and God is able to be glorified as we grow in the Lord. And maybe for some of us, God is asking you, calling you, convicting you, challenging you, that your needs in life, what you need in life is to grow in God, to grow in your love for Him, for His Word, for His people. And as you do that, you would want to grow in love for the Lord and for His people. That this would be something you desire, not because you're forced to, not because you're required to, not because you're commanded to, but because you want to. You want to live a life of faith. You want to live a life following the Lord, loving Him and loving His people. Let me close this in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, that your word is truth and life. As you've viewed, as you've shown us your work in the hand of Elijah and Elisha, their lives, God, that you also are calling us to follow, to obey you, Lord. It may be in a circumstance, in a situation that initially doesn't seem very welcoming, may come at a risk to us, perhaps a reputation, perhaps relationships, perhaps even economically. Father, as you call us, that we would be faithful in building others up, investing into others, Lord, rather than just thinking about our own personal needs, how this benefits us. Father, may we desire what you want for us, and that is what we truly need. God, at the end of the day, Lord, may you be glorified in and through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go out and have a blessed day.